Bible and turn, if you would, with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a thought that the Lord throughout this week had laid on my heart to use as a message for Sunday evening, a thought that He had put on my heart, and I trust that it will be a blessing to you as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in just a moment, we also will take the time to look at a few other verses in our Bible in just a moment. But I wanted to talk to you about a particular subject this evening and give you a couple thoughts about this as we have our Sunday night preaching time. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and I think you'll find as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that this is a familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible is telling us here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 that Paul has a thorn in the flesh. Now we understand that this thorn that is in Paul's flesh is something that is not identified, meaning that we don't know exactly what it was, but we know that Paul was praying about this thorn in his flesh. And there is a word in this passage of Scripture that I wanted to point out this evening and give you a couple thoughts tonight. And I know beyond a doubt that all of us are in this same category this evening as far as this subject that we are going to deal with tonight. There's not one of us that would say, well, that tonight would not be true of me. So this is going to be something that we're going to see tonight that would be true of every single one of us, and something that I think we would identify tonight that we truly need the Lord's help with. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will start reading in verse number 7. And the Bible says this. It says, Paul here, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh that he has there in verse number 7. Notice it says in verse number 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." So he's praying to the Lord for this. And he's seeking the Lord three different times about this thorn in the flesh. Again, we don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh was, but we know that it was something that was a bother to him, something that he was struggling with enough where he would seek the Lord about it and he would pray. And then the Bible says in verse number 8, at the end of the verse, he says he's praying three times about this, that it might depart from me. That it might depart from me. I think we understand when it comes to our prayer time, we spend time praying and we talk to the Lord about certain circumstances and situations that are in our life. And God chooses to answer prayer requests in different ways, doesn't He? He at times will choose to say yes as He answers our prayers. And then at times He may choose to say no as He answers our prayers. Sometimes perhaps we might even get a wait, something that God may want for us, but not at that particular moment. And so notice, he's praying for this three times that it might depart. And he said unto me, now notice, this is the words of Christ here. He says this statement to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now here's the thought tonight, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities," that word infirmities there, along with the word weakness above that, has the idea of weaknesses. So therefore, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, "that the power of Christ," he says, "may rest upon me." Here's what Paul does with his prayer request. He prays in a certain way, and God gets to a point, it gets to a point in Paul's life where God changes his prayer request. He changes his prayer request. He's praying that this thorn in the flesh would be taken away from him, that it would depart from him. And then the prayer request is changed in such a way where Paul comes to the understanding, if it's something that I have to deal with, if it's a difficulty that I'm going to have to endure for the Lord, then I need to get to a point where I realize, as Christ says to me, you will find that my grace is sufficient. For the weaknesses that you go through, the times of weaknesses that you have in your life, my grace is going to be sufficient for you. So I would rather, Paul says, go through this weakness or this infirmity or this trial, this thorn in the flesh that I have, I would rather go through it and understand the grace of God than have God take it away from me if that's not His will or His desire, that my life may ultimately bring glory to the Lord. The word that I want to deal with tonight is found in verse number 9. And I want to start out by giving you some facts about this word. And then I want to talk about how that we can, some different ways that we can deal with this word in our lives. And then I want to talk about making sure that we understand how we can have victory over this. Look at the word that we're going to look at, verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The word weakness. Paul goes on again in verse number 9, and he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. The Lord, as I was just seeking Him about what I would preach for this evening's message, He led me to this thought about weakness. This thought that we deal with in our lives as Christians, weaknesses that we have. And I want to start by giving you a couple thoughts or truths or facts about weakness that would be true for every single one of us. And so this is not something that would be particular to one individual or just personal to one individual. It would be true of all of us. Every single one of us would say that there are weaknesses that are in our life. And so the first truth or the first fact about weakness that I want to share with you this evening is this. Yours may not be the same as mine. And mine might not be the same as yours, but it doesn't make either one less real to the person that has the weakness. So I may not have the same weakness that you have, but I should never look at your weakness and say, well, that one's pretty insignificant because that's not something I struggle with. That's not a weakness I have. So that would be insignificant for them. Because for the person that goes through that weakness in their life, it's very significant to them, isn't it? And then for somebody to look back at me, perhaps, just by way of an illustration now, and say, well, I don't have the same weakness he has. I don't have the same struggles that he has. It would not make the struggles and the weaknesses that I have any less real or any less significant. So let us understand, number one, about our weaknesses, that we all have them, but they may not be the same, but it doesn't mean because you don't have the same weakness as someone else that it's any less real or any less significant to you. The second truth or the second fact that I want to share with you about weakness tonight is this. Your weakness is nothing new to mankind. And I think you understand that, but what we're trying to say with that thought is that there's nothing new. Even the Bible says this, there's nothing new under the sun. You're not facing a weakness in your life that somebody in their life has not already dealt with. Again, we even think to Paul, what was his thorn in the flesh? We don't know what it was, but he's battling a weakness, a struggle that he has, that someone throughout time had already struggled with. And so let us remember that about our weaknesses as well. There are no weaknesses that would be new. So there's nothing new to mankind as far as weaknesses are concerned. But then I want to challenge you with this, because I think this is what we find with Paul here, a fact or a truth about weakness. And I think we see this right in this passage of Scripture that we're dealing with this evening. The third truth or the third fact about weakness is this, that your weakness can become a strength. Your weakness can become a strength. As a matter of fact, I think that's the way Paul words it, doesn't he? Paul says that very thought to us in verse number 9. He says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. First of all, we're going to find that God's strength is there for us as we go through times of weakness. But I think we also have to realize that weakness that we have can become a strength. It can get to a place where even we can be strengthened by it, by the Lord, and be able to find strength in that weakness that we go through. And I think Paul mentions that really when he gets to the end of verse number 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to take this weakness, and I'm going to find that God's strength is there for me, His grace is there for me, and the weakness that I go through can become a strength in my life. And then number five, I want to give you this as a challenge this evening. Your weakness, it is possible for the weakness that you have in your life to bring glory to the Lord. It is possible for your weakness to bring glory to the Lord. I think we see that in the life of Paul as well. We see that Paul has come to a place in which he realizes that this weakness that I have, this problem that I have, this thorn in the flesh that I'm battling here, if I just accept the fact that God's grace is there for me, I can, as he says, most gladly therefore, while I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me for the purpose of God's power being on me and God getting all the praise and God getting all the glory. There is a verse in Hebrews chapter 11 that I want to draw your attention to. You know Hebrews chapter 11 well enough, perhaps, to know that it's the great faith chapter. And so we see all these men and women of faith that were used for the honor and the glory of the Lord, and God increased their faith as they went through trying and difficult times. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, down to verse number 34, it says this, and by the way, it's giving a list of individuals who were known for their faith. As a matter of fact, we see names that are mentioned in the early part of this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. We see great men and women of faith that are mentioned. But then it gives us a list of other individuals. I like the way it words this. It says in verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell." And then it gives a list of even others that had great faith, but time would fail for me to include all of these individuals that we could come up with by name who lived in great faith. Notice some of the things that they accomplished. Would you start with verse 33? "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of," notice the next word, "out of weakness were made strong." Out of weakness were made strong. So it may be that they had weaknesses as they worked for the Lord, as they served Him, but that became a strength. It became something that they used for the honor and the glory of the Lord, and their faith is even recognized here. And it says at the end of verse number 34, "waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." And then it gives a list of accomplishments of these great, again, men and women of faith and what they did for the Lord. But in weakness, they were made strong. In weakness, they found their strength. So our weakness can be turned into a strength, and our weakness can be for the honor, used for the honor and the glory of the Lord. And we see that with those men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. I guess every time I think of this passage, especially as I think here of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and maybe it's just the way that I consider it, but I often think, especially as I get to that part where Jesus says, where Christ says to Paul, "for my strength is made perfect in weakness," the illustration that many times goes to my mind is the illustration of Ron Hamilton. And what Ron Hamilton had to go through, where he lost his eye, a problem that he had with his eye, and he had to go in for surgery, and he had to have his eye removed. We were out door knocking yesterday, and we knocked on a door, and a lady came to the door, and she answered the door, and she had an eye that was missing. And was it you, Joella, that was with me? All right, it was Joella that was with me. And so she looked down at Joella, and she thought that maybe perhaps she was a little frightened by her not having an eye, and she kind of tried to comfort her a little bit. And she said, "I had cancer in my eye." And she said, "I had to have my eye removed." And she did talk to us about how she knew the Lord and was looking at the place. We were knocking on the door, and she didn't even live there. It was for rent, and she was looking at it as a possible place for her to rent. And she looked at Joella and I. We were standing there at the door, and she looked at us and she said, "You know, God did not have you come here by accident today." And she said, "You encouraged me." She said, "I hope I encouraged you," and kind of just gave a testimony of how she knew the Lord and just was encouraged by talking to her. But she talked about how she had cancer in her eye and how her eye had to be removed. And again, certainly something that we would not think a person would have to go through that would be very comfortable. but how that God can take that and use it for his honor and his glory. Well, that's what he did in Ron Hamilton's life, didn't he? Ron Hamilton was able to take the character of Pax the Pirate that he calls himself, and he was able over the many years of his ministry to be able to produce music that's been sung all over the world. We think of the way that God has used this man, how his weakness, God used that weakness and he turned it into a strength. He used it for the honor and the glory of the Lord. And so just some thoughts there about weakness. One last truth that I want to share with you by way of an opening here. One last truth I want to share with you is this. The devil wants to use your weakness to destroy you. The devil wants to use your weakness to destroy you. You know, one of the things that was a joy to my heart yesterday was to see that this lady that had her eye removed was, in my opinion now, the most joyful person we ran into yesterday. We knocked on a lot of doors, and we had some folks talk to us. It wasn't that anybody was mean to us, but she was the one that to me, displayed the most joy. And that's the devil would want it to be the other way around. The devil wants to take your weakness, and he wants to use it to destroy you. We understand what our weakness is. God knows what our weakness is. But I believe that the devil understands what it is as well, and he wants to use it against you. He wants to use it to destroy you. And in addition to ourselves knowing what our weakness is, and God knowing what our weaknesses are, and the devil trying to use our weakness to destroy us, often, I think you would agree with this thought, others around us perhaps may be able to see our weaknesses as well. And perhaps maybe they can identify our weaknesses even before we can identify them. And they understand the struggles that we go through. And by the way, that little statement that I made is going to come into importance here in just a moment as we move on in the message. But I wanted you to notice some truths about our weaknesses. But then I want us to notice that our weaknesses can be in three different categories. I want us to talk about that tonight, our weaknesses and how they can be really divided into three different categories. We can have personal weaknesses. There can be things about us personally that are weaknesses. I began to think a little bit about this, and I thought about one of the illustrations that I think the Lord gave to my heart as I was thinking about personal weaknesses that we can have. I was thinking about how that when you fill out a job application, perhaps most of us in here have had a time where we've had to fill out a job application, or maybe perhaps we have had to fill out a reference or a report for somebody else who is trying to get a job. And one of the questions many times on an application, or again a reference that you might perhaps give to somebody else, is what are your strengths? And you start to list on there some what you feel in your life are some personal strengths that you have. But then what's the next question? What are your weaknesses? What are the things that you feel like you can work a little bit better on? Or maybe perhaps just some challenges that you have personally. I know, again, I filled out applications and that's been on it. Or I've filled out from time to time references where it's had it on there about the person that you are talking about and giving a reference for. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses that you have? Maybe for some in a personal way, you could say, well, the musical ability is not perhaps as strong as what somebody else would have as far as a musical ability is concerned or a musical talent. Maybe perhaps in a personal way, you can think of yourself being perhaps maybe a little bit more or a little bit less athletic. I think of the illustration of a draft. When football has the draft comes up, or baseball or hockey or whatever sport it is, one of the things that they will have for every player that's being drafted is they'll have what they call a draft profile, a particular player profile of that person. And what are they identifying in the life of that person? Well, they're saying that in college, this particular person that's coming to the draft in the National Football League, he has these strengths. He has these weaknesses, and so we can identify these areas in his life personally that he has that are strengths and that are weaknesses. Maybe for some, you would say academically, that's always been a strength of mine. I feel in my life, at least academically, I just got by. I mean, I struggled academically, and some of you, and trying hard at times as well. I kind of struggled. There might be some of you that are sitting in here that say, in school, man, I was straight A's. Academically, it wasn't a challenge at all. And so personally, we have weaknesses that we can identify in our lives. Maybe socially. Maybe you say, I'm just not the kind of a social person that maybe somebody else is. My wife was talking to me about at times in her life where she hasn't necessarily been a person that would go out and in a personal way socialize with people so much. Some have that social skill, maybe a people person, and some maybe you'd say that's one of my weaknesses, or maybe the things I struggle with. Maybe mentally you can think of some struggles or some weaknesses that you have. And so that would be our first category, a personal way that we can struggle. And then maybe perhaps we identified this in the life of Brother Ron Hamilton. Maybe perhaps there is a physical weakness. An individual that perhaps may have struggles with sicknesses often. And they would just say, this is a physical weakness that I have, something that would be with their health. We think of Fanny Crosby, who wrote all of those hymns that are in our hymn book. And what was the weakness that she had? She was blind. She couldn't see. She wrote so many hymns. And what did Fanny Crosby do? She took the physical weakness that she had, and it became a strength, and she used it for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Maybe perhaps an individual that's deaf, maybe perhaps an individual that can't hear, maybe one that is physically limited because of an accident that they've been involved with, or maybe perhaps a health concern that they have that puts some limits on them. There's some weaknesses there physically. And so we can have personal weaknesses. We can have physical weaknesses. But we have to be careful about the spiritual weaknesses that we have. Because just like weaknesses can become a strength, I believe with all of my heart that our weaknesses can quickly also become a sinful practice or a sinful habit in our lives. We can get to the place where these weaknesses perhaps that we have become sinful. And I started to think about this. I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Galatians. I want us to look at the book of Galatians, and I want us to notice some sins that we can have, some weaknesses, maybe even perhaps in our character, or excuse me, in our lives that can become sins of our character. Some weaknesses in our character that we have that can become sins in our character. Look at what the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5. This is the list in verse number 22. This is the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, this list, we've done it. We did a big study on this on Wednesday night during our prayer and Bible study. This would have been a time ago, and so it's been a little while since we were studying through this. But we were studying through the fruit of the Spirit, and we saw these 9 character traits. The best way for us to help you to understand them tonight is we talk about these character traits or these character qualities that we ought to have. The first 3 character traits in this list deal with our relationship with God, the love and the joy and the peace. And then we have character traits that deal with our relationship with other individuals. And so that's the second group of 3 that's mentioned there. We've got love, joy, peace. And then it says long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Those are 3 character traits that deal with our relationship with other individuals. And then the last 3 are character traits that deal with our relationship with ourselves. And it helps us to consider what our character is like in our own personal life. And so it could be possible that we could look at this list of character traits and we could say, I struggle with one of these. And the struggle that we have with one of these character traits can quickly become a sinful habit. For instance, if we were to look down here and we were to look at that 4th one, long suffering. Is there anyone that would say tonight, there's times, not of course by acknowledging it, but you would say at times, I can struggle with patience. I can struggle with patience. I'm not as patient as I ought to be. That's a character trait that God desires for us to have, right? He desires for us as Christians to show patience, to be patient with one another and to show patience in our life. If it's a character trait that you struggle with, we need to make sure that we're very serious before God about it so that it does not become a weakness in our character that turns into a sinful habit where we just say, well, that's just what I'm like, and I'm just going to go around in life being impatient. We've got to work with it, don't we? We've got to make sure we understand that that's a spiritual weakness that I have. It's a spiritual character trait that I'm not doing so well with. Maybe perhaps the thought of kindness that's mentioned in this verse. We think of how that God desires for the relationships that we have with one another to show kindness to one another. And maybe perhaps just an area in your life that you say, spiritually, I just struggle with that. And not to get to the point where I just say, well, I'm just going to, it's just part of my character. I'm just going to struggle with it. And it eventually becomes a sinful practice or a sinful habit in our lives where we simply don't have the spirit that we ought to have with those that are around us. And then I think of that word meekness. I think of that word meekness. It gives us the thought of humility, doesn't it? Humility. Maybe perhaps you say in my life, one of the struggles that I have is just a moments of pride where I'm more prideful than what I ought to be and just not humbled before the Lord like I ought to be. Well, not to look at that spiritual problem with your spiritual weakness with your character and say, well, that's just going to be the person that I am, and it be turned into a sinful practice or a sinful habit in our lives. God wants us to make sure that the spiritual weaknesses that we have are things that we, by His help and with His strength, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, that we find victory over those. So maybe perhaps it will become a spiritual weakness of yours, could be a sin of your character. Maybe perhaps it could even be a sin of your conduct. A sin of your conduct. And perhaps a weakness that turns into a sinful habit or a sinful practice in your conduct. Again, you know what that weakness is. You know what it is that you struggle with, whether it be a sin in your conduct of commission, where we commit a sin, something that we ought to stay away from, or the sin of omission, when we omit something, we leave something out that we ought to do for the Lord. So in your life, you identify what that spiritual weakness is, and don't just get to a place where you put your hands up in defeat and say, well, that's just the kind of person I'm going to be. That's the spiritual weakness I have, and it become a sinful practice or a sinful habit in your life. Let's make sure we have victory over that. And that's what leads us to the end of the message tonight. We saw some truths about our weakness, and then we saw some categories of our weaknesses. They might be physical. They might be personal. Maybe perhaps they're spiritual in our lives, some weaknesses, some things that we battle, some things that we have to constantly work on. Can I give you a strategy, something that we can use to help us with our weaknesses? And I want to give you a couple thoughts here this evening, and it's going to go with a couple Bible verses that we're going to use. Would you look in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Ephesians? The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. And would you look down when you get to Ephesians chapter 5, down to verse number 11. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Here's the first thought that I want to see, that I want us to see about our weaknesses and how we can decide to have victory over them. Number one, I want us to understand this evening, that we need to get to a place where we develop a strategy against whatever our weakness is. We would develop a strategy. Notice what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 5, down at verse number 11. It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness," he says, "but rather reprove them." It's not something, again, back to what we said as an illustration, it's not something we ought to say, well, this is just going to be part of my life, or these are things I'm just going to do. But it's saying to make sure we reject those things, to make sure we push those things away. And so let's come up in our lives developing a strategy against it. If my weakness, it's as simple as saying this, if my weakness is this, if this is what I struggle with, then I'm going to use this to combat it. As a matter of fact, we're going to come up with we're going to give you an idea in just a moment of something that we can use to help us with that. So we got to get to a place where we admit it. And then this is the weakness. This is the thing I struggle with. This is the thing from time to time I've even praying to the Lord about, like Paul did. I'm praying to the Lord about it. So I'm admitting it. I'm working on it. And to get to the place where we will even accept, perhaps, help from other individuals. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, that goes back to something we talked about a minute ago. Who is it that knows our weaknesses? Well, we know our weakness. The Lord understands what our weaknesses are. The devil wants to use it to destroy us. He wants to use it to defeat us. But many times those that are closest to us can identify our weaknesses as well. So it wouldn't be a bad thing for you to allow somebody to come along beside you and say, hey, I'm trying to work on some things. I've got some struggles perhaps, and I'm trying to ask you to help me to stay accountable. Or maybe perhaps would you be able to help me to identify some things in my character that I can work on? Some weaknesses, maybe perhaps some struggles that I have that you see. Do you know what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs? I love this verse. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. What does that mean? It means that a friend will tell you what you need to hear. So to have a friend come along beside you and say, hey, there's some things that I can identify, some struggles that I see that you have, and I'm just simply telling you because I'm a friend. I'm telling you because I love you. I'm telling you because I want to be a help to you. What does the second part of that verse say? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What does an enemy do? An enemy tells you what you want to hear. Those that are not close to you as a friend would. Those that are not loving you like a friend would. Iron sharpeneth iron. That's what a friend can do, right? So a friend sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So allow somebody to come along beside you and say, hey, these are some things I'm noticing. Some character traits I believe that you could work on, and accept that. Listen to it. And allow that to combat the weakness that you may perhaps have in your life. But then here's the second thought that goes hand in hand with that. We want to learn to conquer it. So get to a place where you identify or find a verse for the weaknesses and the struggles that you have. Maybe in your life you can identify the things that you have that are struggles. Would you get a verse that helps you? And as you identify, as you locate a verse that's going to help you, a verse that you can stand by, a verse that you can go to. Hey, God, this is my weakness, but I know this is what your word says about it. So I'm not just going to throw up my hands in defeat and say, well, that's just going to be part of my character. That's just the person I'm going to be. No, I'm going to combat it. And I'm going to combat it through God's word. I'm going to find a verse that he gives to me that will challenge me, that it will encourage me to help me with this weakness that I have. And so I ask you, by way of application, what verse do you have in your life to combat the weakness or the weaknesses that you have in your life? Because all of us have them. We can all identify them in our lives. What verse do you have that you can use to combat that weakness that you have? The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, when it uses that word temptation there, that could refer to temptation of sin, but it could also refer to temptation of trials. We go through trials from time to time as well. Well, here's what the Bible's telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. He says, God is faithful, and he'll not suffer you to be tempted, meaning solicited for sin or temptation or trial, that you're not able to bear, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, what is the way of escape that we have? We've got God's word, don't we? And we can combat the weakness that we have by finding a verse in the Bible that can help us with our weakness. And when there's times when we're struggling, maybe perhaps battling, maybe it's a personal weakness and you just say, I just feel like giving up from time to time. Maybe a physical weakness that we have. Maybe a spiritual weakness and it's part of our character. Or maybe if it's even moved to our conduct and it's very quickly going to become a sinful practice or a sinful habit in our lives, let's run to that verse. Let's use that verse as our standby that we can go to help us with the weaknesses that we have. And then another thought that I want to give you tonight as we're bringing our message to a close. Number one, we said we want to combat it. And the way that we combat it is with that verse that we're going to come up with. We want to conquer it. We want to use the Bible as our source, as our go-to to help us. But then number two, can you consider, when we think about weaknesses tonight, can you bring up the consequences? Bring up the consequences. Again, if we get to a place in our lives where we just say, well, that's just the weakness I have, and that's just the personality I have, or maybe the physical ability that I have, and I've just limited myself there, and that's just the kind of person I'm going to be, it can result in a loss of our testimony. It can get us to the place where we lose the fellowship that we need to have with the Lord because we allow that weakness to stand in the way, and instead of conquering it, the devil uses it to destroy us and uses it to defeat us, and we don't have the fellowship with God like we should. We lose our testimony before others and before this lost world, and then perhaps even cause damage and harm and danger to relationships around us. And so let's make sure we get to a place where we realize what the consequences are. If we don't conquer our weakness that we have. And then the last thought I want to give you tonight is this. This is the greatest source that we have to go to. Remember the love of God. Remember the love of God. Remember that God loves you. Remember that God loved you enough to die. And He didn't just love you enough to die for your sin as a whole. He loved you enough to die for that individual sin that you have that you're struggling with. He died for all of the sins of the world, didn't He? He took our sin upon Him and He bore that on His body. And so when we get to the place in our lives where we say, this weakness that I have, it seems as if it's bigger than my no. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's bigger than just looking at it and saying, no, you know, that's a weakness and I want to push it away. I want to say no to it, but it seems like it's bigger than that. I just seem like I'm struggling getting victory over it. Realize that you're going to need God's help. He loved you so much that He died for you. He certainly loves you enough to help you. And He also considering the love of God, we consider the fact that we don't want to get to a place where we just give in to our weaknesses because God did love us that much. So I want to do my very best for Him. And so get to a place where we realize that we can conquer our weakness through Christ. That's the challenge tonight. Conquer your weakness through Christ. He's the one that can give us the victory. And I don't, so many times I get to a point in my life, at least as a preacher, I know Brother Corey, he preaches a lot as well. I know I get to a point in my life as a preacher where sometimes I don't know exactly why God lays a subject on my heart. But tonight, perhaps this thought was for you this evening. Maybe just something you're battling. Maybe something right now you're just really struggling. Maybe perhaps it's a weakness that you have that no one may perhaps know about. It's between you and the Lord, and you're just struggling with it. Maybe you feel like you can't get victory over it. You almost feel like giving up. You almost feel like quitting. But remember, we can conquer the struggles and the weaknesses that we have through Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul said. Paul said, Christ said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. You'll always find that God's grace is sufficient for you. So perhaps was this message for you tonight? I was greeting folks at the door today, this morning, and I had someone come to me at the end of the service, and they said, I just want to let you know what you preached about was for me. It was for me. They said to me, if it wasn't a blessing to anyone else, it was for me this morning. Maybe perhaps this message tonight's for you. Maybe God's laid it on my heart as I've been pondering these things throughout this week about this thought of weakness. Maybe God would use it to encourage you tonight. Let's make sure that we conquer the struggles and the weaknesses that we have through Christ. Do not let the devil defeat us. Don't let him discourage us. Don't let him destroy our lives. Don't allow the things that we struggle with and the weaknesses that we have to get to a point where they become a sinful practice or a sinful habit, putting our hands up in defeat and just giving in to it. But instead, let's realize that we can conquer it through Christ. Our weakness can become a strength. Our weakness can be used for the honor and the glory of the Lord if we'll just let Him help us and we conquer that through Christ. Father, I pray that You would challenge us with the thought tonight. Maybe perhaps this message was for one particular